In the first reading today, we hear about the vision that the prophet Daniel had. And in part of that vision, as we heard, that he saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds. When he reached the Ancient One, he was presented before him and received dominion, glory, and kingship. This point of the Son of Man coming from Daniel, we first have to understand, is the place where Jesus takes this title from that he applies to himself. Over and over in the gospel, we hear him calling himself the Son of Man. The reason is what we heard in the first reading. And we have to understand why then he is the king. Why does he receive this dominion and glory and kingship? What's important is for us, first of all, to understand it is not because he is God. He is God from all eternity. What the prophet Daniel saw was someone with a human nature, someone who is a son of man, who is being presented before God the Father. And so we understand then it is because our Lord took our humanity to himself and died on the cross for us and rose from the dead. That is why he is the king, because of his passion and his death and his resurrection. And so understanding that then, we need to take it to the next step. As we look at our Lord as the king of the universe, we can ask ourselves then, what about us? And that's what we hear in the second reading. First of all, we hear that Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth. So once again, it's put right in that context. And then it becomes even more clear. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, has made us into a kingdom and priests for God his Father. That's us. We are members of the kingdom of Christ. And the reason we are members of the kingdom of Christ is because in our baptism, you and I have become sons or daughters of God. So in Jesus, who is God from all eternity, he became a son of man. We who are human by our nature have now become children of God. We have been elevated to that level. So he is the king because he shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. We are members of his kingdom because we have become members of Christ. That is our dignity. That is who he has made us to be. It's not what is ours by nature. It is supernatural. And that's why in the gospel reading, when Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my subjects would be fighting to keep me from being handed over." They didn't, because he's not an earthly king. He is a heavenly king. And as such, his kingdom is different from what we normally think of when we think of kings and queens. Kings and queens, of course, are the great ones. They're the ones that everyone has to bow down before. They're the ones that everybody serves. The kingship of Christ is just the opposite. And he made that very clear. Recall when he said, "I did not come into this world to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many." Once again, there is his kingship. It is one of service. It is hard for us to be able to accept that truth, but he serves us. Let that sink in. He serves you. He is God, but he serves you. Why? We heard it again in the second reading. Let me read it again. To him who loves us. That's what love is. It's service. He loves us and therefore he serves us. But love is a relationship. It can't just be a one-way street. So we have to receive the love that he gives us, and then we have to make the choice to love him in return. You can't force somebody to love you. That's not love. It has to be a choice. And so he has made a choice. He chose you. And now he is waiting for each one of us to make a choice, to choose him. But it's not just an objective thing to be able to look at it and say, well, yeah, I guess he's God, so sure, I'll choose him. No, no, no. He's looking for a subjective choice. He's looking for each one of us to say, I love you. And not to say it, to do it. To do exactly what he did. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. When two people are in love with one another, they serve one another. And so you give and you receive. But it's done out of love. It's always seeking the good of the other person. That's exactly what Jesus does. He serves because he loves. But now he's calling us to love him. So we have to take it then to the next step. It's like, okay, what does this imply for us? Well, again, listen to what it is that he said to Pilate. Pilate said, so you are a king? Jesus said, you say I'm a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Do we belong to the truth? Because his kingdom, unlike the kingdoms of earth, his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. His kingdom is a kingdom of life. Look at what's going on in our world. It's lies. We have been lied to, and we continue to be lied to over and over and over again. And tragically, lots and lots of people have bought the lie. I don't remember which one it was, if it was Stalin or Hitler or whoever it was, that said, tell the same lie enough times and people will believe it. And that's exactly what we've done. They lie and they lie and they lie and they lie. Jesus is the truth. So what we have to ask, number one, is, do I want the truth? Or do I want the lies? We're made for the truth, and Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Do we want the freedom that comes only through Christ? That's the kingdom that he's offering. To be subjects in his kingdom is not to be under thumb. It's to have the freedom of the children of God. And the first point of that freedom is to live the truth. To have that freedom of the truth. The second point of his kingdom is it's one of love. Because he loves. He is love. And then he's waiting, as I said earlier, for us now to make the choice to love him. Understand that it is truth and it is love that will fulfill us. Nothing else does. We all know that. Look at all the things that the advertisers have told us are going to fulfill us. Have any of them ever worked? No, and they never will. The only things that will fulfill you are truth and charity. You have a mind that was made for truth. You have a will that was made for love. You have a soul that is made for life. What is Jesus offering to you? Life. Our society, the worldly kingdoms, have chosen death. Our Pope John Paul even went so far as to say it's a culture of death. Jesus offers life. So he offers us the freedom of truth and charity. He offers us the fulfillment of life in this world, but ultimately for eternity. But we have to choose it. It's what he's offering, but as I said earlier, because it is love, he will not force it on us. God has already given us the privilege to be members of his kingdom by baptizing us into his Son. But just going through baptism isn't going to be sufficient. we now have to choose to live what that baptism means. Each and every one of us, because we are a member of Christ, is a priest, a prophet, and a king. You share in the royal office of Christ. And the royal office of Christ is one of service. And so it is to serve the Lord as he serves us. It is to embrace the truth. It is to live the charity. It is to be filled with his life. That's the kingdom of Christ. And it is within. Because again, being a child of God, you are lifted up to a supernatural level of acting and being. The kingdom of God, Jesus said over and over again in the gospel, is within. So as we pray in the Our Father, thy kingdom come, it has to take place in our hearts. The kingdom of God is within. So we're not going to see it by looking around the world. We're going to see it by looking into our own hearts. That's where that choice has to be made. That's where he has chosen to dwell. That's why St. Teresa of Avila could say that what she envisioned in her prayer was Jesus enthroned on her heart. Her heart was a throne for Jesus to sit upon. And that was what she imagined as she would pray and she would go inside so that she could be united with the King. That's the love that Jesus has for you. He dwells within you. Now the question is, do we want to dwell in him? It's way too easy for us to be able to say, oh, I just want the worldly stuff. I just want to be like everyone else. It's not what we're called to. I've already mentioned what the world offers is a bunch of lies, it's selfishness, it's death. What Jesus offers to us is truth, it is love, it is life. We proclaim him to be the king of the entire universe, and he is. And every single being is going to see that on the day of judgment. In the meantime, he has to be the king in our hearts. You are the kingdom. You are the place where he has chosen to be. And now for each one of us, it's to choose him, to allow him to be the king in our lives.